I mean, y'all know God's on the move. Amen. And he's faithful to complete what he started. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Would you turn to the book of Luke? Are we ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah. You feel good today. Y'all look a little better. I mean, you know, when you first came in, I was a little concerned. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. How many are going through trials and tribulations? Well, if you're not, you're about to, so don't worry about it. Why? Because it's perfecting you, right? Glory to God. God tests the heart, doesn't he? And Luke 15 and verse 11. Oh, hallelujah. Simple, quick teaching today. Now, I don't lie. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. I would say this one was anxious. Anxious. He said, man, come on, give me what's due to me. I'm going to go do what I need to do. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. In other words, worldly living. Oh, how many times have we done that? Wasted it. But when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You know, this always reminds me of Jonah. Because if you notice that when Jonah was on the boat, right, what happened? A big storm came. Well, I relate the storm with the famine. Amen? And they were in want. Help. In verse 15, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, in other words, when he came to his senses, and this is what Jonah had to do too. What was he doing? Jonah was running from God, and so was this one brother running from God. Couldn't be patient enough. He couldn't wait. He knew what the right thing was to do, but he chose not to. And when he came to his senses, sometimes you have to get in the mud or get in turmoil or get in trouble or whatever to finally come out and come to your senses and go, whoa. The thing is to come out quickly. Amen? Come out quickly. Don't be prideful. Be humble. Come out quickly. As quick as you can. Amen? See, because the Bible says be anxious for nothing, right? What happens is we become anxious. The enemy begins to gently pushes us, saying, hey, he puts an impartation into us to want. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. In other words, that means lack also. See, if you're right with God, you have everything. If you're in that position where you truly trust and you're right with the Lord, you know you have everything. You don't need to go hunt for nothing. It comes to you. The whole thing is waiting. Everybody say, I love to wait. Some of y'all need to repent because you said it and you're not wrong. I mean it. As soon as you said it, I saw all these tails go up. I love to wait. But when he came to his senses or to himself, hallelujah, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with the hunger. In other words, man, what's up? Wait a minute. My daddy owns the universe. I'm over here begging. I'm so far out of position, it's ridiculous. Man, what? My daddy owns it all. I mean, you know, I was just walking with the Lord, and how did I get here? Anxious. Gentle push. That gentle push builds push. Then pride. I can do it. Come on, just give it to me. I know how to. I know how to do it. I'm all right now. No, Lord, not your will, my will. The Jonah syndrome. That's what I should have titled this, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. He said, man, I'm going to rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He didn't want to get him back into the same authority position. He was willing to just become a servant. Do anything. Clean toilets. Do whatever it took to get back in right with God. Amen? Let me share a couple things with you. Well, I guess we better go a little further first. So he rose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this was my son, was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. How many of y'all know that this is you and me? Hello? I'm telling you, your daddy never turns his back on you. Never. Never turns his back on us. And he put the robe. I want to call today, it's called the robes of righteousness. The robe of righteousness. What is the first thing he did? He put a what? Robe on him, didn't he? Then he put a ring on him. And then he put sandals on him. Well, he restored. Because the first thing that we must do is repent. But it must be pure. It's called pure repentance. Pure. Not because you hurt others, not because you got caught, because you offended your father. Not because you're in trouble, not because of anything else, but because you offended. What did he say? The first thing he said, I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against heaven. In everything in our whole life, people might have sinned against you. They might have hurt you. They might have abused you. They might have spoke bad about you. They might have sinned against you. But I'm telling you something. Let God deal with that. Not you. You want restoration and reconciliation. The only way it comes is to first be reconciled with him in every area of our life. No matter what it is. The robe, the ring, and the sandals are restored because of a pure repentance. Pure. Out of the heart. Pure. Now, these are garments. Let me share something with you. These are all garments, aren't they? The robe is the robe of righteousness. The ring is the ring of covenant. And the sandals are the sandals of position. I'll say this again. The robe is a robe of righteousness. The ring is a ring of covenant. And the sandals are the sandals of position. These are the garments. I want to go a little bit further on this. They are symbolic also as for children of the Most High God. Symbolic. Now I share with you that it's a robe of righteousness, right? It also represents, let me share with you what your enemy looks at it. Now, God looks at it in one way and the devil looks at it as another way. The robe is a robe of royalty. Amen? These are symbolic. These are your office. This is what the enemy sees. The robe is the robe of royalty. The ring is the ring of authority. And the sandals are the sandals of dominion. Does everybody understand that? So what the enemy's always going to try to do is get your garments blemished or remove your garments because he sees them. He knows exactly what's what. So in the eyes of God, you have the robe of righteousness, the ring of covenant, and the sandals of position. In the eyes of the enemy, you have the robe of royalty, the ring of authority, and the sandals of dominion. In other words, expanded. Does everybody understand this? So what's the enemy trying to do? Undress you. He tries to undress you. Go to Revelation 19. Do I need to repeat that? Everybody got it? Hallelujah. Revelation 19. Thank you, Father. Bless your holy name. In verse 6. Oh, hallelujah. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of the mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. You know who the wife is? We are. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. You want to keep your garments clean? Then they are called righteous acts. The first righteous act is pure repentance. That's the first righteous act. It's pure repentance. In this association with pure repentance, the Bible says, depart from evil. Amen. The Bible also says, hate evil. Evil. If you know what to do, which is good, and you don't, you're petting evil. Come out from among them and touch nothing unclean. Pure repentance is the first righteous act. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 9 it says, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. These are the true. That's that marriage. There's that garment. Robe of righteousness. The first righteous act. How do you maintain your garments in this arena? Well, there are righteous acts. The first righteous act that you must do is have pure repentance. Amen. Go to Isaiah 61. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord and all that is within us. Bless His holy name. Righteous acts. Isaiah 61. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 10, read it with me. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, and as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Hallelujah. It says, rejoice in the Lord. The Lord sees the bride, doesn't he? He sees the garments on his bride. Remember, I shared with you already that the robe represents what? Righteousness. The ring represents covenant. And the sandals represent position. Now, that's what the Lord sees, right? What's the devil see? The enemy sees? He sees the robe that represents royalty, the ring that represents authority, and the sandals that represent dominion. Do you all understand that? Man, I'm telling you, when you begin to look at yourself in this arena, you won't take no more garbage from the devil. When he starts tempting you and you start and he starts throwing stuff, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says to you, you're beginning to agree with him. Wait a minute. What he's trying to do is steal your ring. He's trying to steal your sandals. He's trying to steal your garment. He's trying to disarm you and strip you naked. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 22. Praise you, Lord. Matthew 22. Verse 2, and the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And he sent out his, and again he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, which means called, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed and the things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it. They made what? Light of it. They made light of it. They made light of who they were. They made light of it. They made that the enemy convinced them that they were still human. They made light of this. But they made light of it and went their ways, and one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready now, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, as many as you find, invite to the wedding. What was he inviting? Those that were not worthy. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Glory. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend. Didn't call him servant or son or daughter. He said, friend. Do you remember what Jesus said to Judas? Friend. Hello. He said, friend, now, how did you come into here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are what? Called. That means invited. Amen? Many are what? Called. That means invited. But few are what? Chosen. There's the called, there's the chosen, and there's the faithful. In other words, abide by his statutes and commands. Amen? You can't cheat your way into the heaven. There's so much false garbage out there, New Age and all kinds of stuff. You know what they try to do? They try to get home by their own righteousness. Amen? They try to make it home by their own righteousness. You can't. There isn't anyone in this room that is worthy to go home. None of us. Only what Jesus did on the cross grants us to be worthy. But nothing. You know why? Because he bought us. That's what makes you worthy. If you weren't bought, you wouldn't be worthy. See, because who you are bought by is who you come under covering or covenant with. So if Jesus bought you, then you don't have a life. It's not your life anymore. It's his. The problem is too many are trying to fight for their life. Amen? Too many are trying to fight for their life. And in this area where we begin to fight for our life, it's because we want our inheritance. We want what we want, and we want it now. Amen? We want what we want. We want it now. We have a hard time waiting on the Lord. And the only reason why we have a hard time waiting on the Lord is because the enemy is beginning to strip us. We're still fighting for our life. And he has access to us. What happens is we begin to touch and agree with certain things. The enemy begins to cause you to look at yourself. Slowly. He's like a pickpocketer, you know, real sly. So we are to abide by his statutes and commands, and we can't cheat. There's no way home except for through Christ. Nothing that we can do, but everything that he has done. Amen? That's all he's asking us to do is to stay in position, physically and spiritually. He's asking us to stay in position. Go to Revelation 3. Hallelujah. The righteous acts of the saints. The first one is what? Pure repentance. Oh, to God be the glory. Revelation 3. Verse 10. No. Let's go to verse 18. Revelation 3:18. Would you read it with me? What does he say? I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in fire, that you may be what? Rich in white garments. Rich in what? Rich in knowledge, rich in understanding, rich in his presence. The great riches is by wisdom, isn't it? The great riches is by knowledge and understanding. These are the riches of God. These are the mysteries of God that he has for me. He says, buy them. That means there's a price for them. That means that there's something you must learn. I'm telling you, it doesn't come by sleeping with your Bible. Hello. It doesn't come by playing tapes while you sleep. Oh, hallelujah. And it doesn't come by somebody laying hands on you. It comes by seeking the Lord. Seeking him. And putting it into practice. That's how it comes. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may what? See. Clarity. Amen. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and what? Repent. That's the first righteous act, isn't it? So he's saying that there is a price. He said, buy. There's a price to pay. Know the truth and obey, isn't it? To know the truth and obey. Go to verse 5 while we're here. Would you read it with me? And he who overcomes what? Overcomes darkness. Overcomes the world. Overcomes temptation. And he who what? Overcomes shall be clothed in what? White garments. Remember, he talked about shame of nakedness. Why? Because we've allowed the enemy to begin to strip us. But he says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will what? Not blot out his name from the what? Book of life. So that means that we must overcome to make it home. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Overcome darkness and worldly lusts. Go to Ephesians 6. Robe of righteousness. Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Glory to God. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Everybody knows this by heart. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and not in your own flesh. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and not in your own intellect. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and not in your own finances. Got real quiet in here. What's up? Come on, read it with me. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be what? Able to stand against the wiles of the trickery of the devil. What's he going to try to do? Strip you. That's his job. Steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Oh, hallelujah. He says, put on the whole armor of God, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against your neighbor, your spouse, your friend, your brother, your pastor. We do not fight against things of the natural realm, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And they're not playing games. They are not playing games. When the word says that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, he is on you to steal, kill, and destroy. Let me tell you something. You cannot open the door. He will kill you if he has an opportunity. We're not to give him the opportunity. He'll kill you. Amen? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Withstand. Withstand what? Withstand temptation. Withstand the flood of the enemy. Withstand. Let me tell you, putting on a whole armor of God is just not, hello, Lord, please dress me with the helmet of salvation and this and that. That's good to see that. That's good to speak that. But I'm telling you, the full armor of God is not intacted on you unless you're in God's presence. It's not praying on the run. Well, I prayed in the Holy Ghost for 5 minutes a night, and I went to work. I don't understand why things didn't go right. I'm telling you, the first thing the enemy does is move you out of God's presence. Even though you may be in his presence, you're not in his presence. You could be in this room in his presence and still not be in his presence. Because spiritually, you're out of the building. But thank God your flesh is in here anyways. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Listen, we've got to do all we can to stand, no matter what. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the what? Truth, and having put on the what? Breastplate of righteousness. Woo! Why? You know what that breastplate is there for? To cover your heart. To cover your heart. Now, your heart is the character of your spirit. Amen? Your heart is the character of your spirit. It's to cover your heart. And, of course, then it goes on, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench every fiery dart that the wicked one throws at you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always in the Holy Ghost. It's real simple. The breastplate covers your heart as the character of your spirit. Amen? So we want to protect, we want to keep ourselves so that our heart is protected. Amen? Now, this is the arena where what you choose to do and what you agree with is going to open the door to your spirit. Because see, your will is known as the door to your heart. Hello. So whatever you will, whatever you agree with, it opens the door to the enemy, and your spirit becomes corrupted, contaminated. And then you'll do what you've allowed. Because what you yield to, you become a slave to. Amen? Whatever you yield to, you become a slave to. Go to Zechariah 3. I'm sorry. Zechariah. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? You all know what the enemy's trying to do? He's trying to strip you, man. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy you, and he'll do it any way and every way he can. He doesn't give up. When you were born, there were a set of powers of darkness that were attached to you. And assigned to you the moment you came into this world. They had a right of way through ancestral iniquity to access you. And as you grew, because the enemy tried to kill you before you were birthed, as you grew, then authority was transferred to other demonic forces. As you get older in the spirit, new level, new devil. They don't need to waste the big boys on a little child. Hello. For when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I'm talking about, it's got nothing to do with age. It's got to do with maturity. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 3. Would you read it with me in verse 1? Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. You know that you stand before the angel of the Lord daily. The angel of the Lord is around you. The Bible says that those who are from the redeemed have legions of angels around them. And there is an angel of the Lord that encamps around those who fear God. One day I was in this place worshiping the Lord. I was in a demonic building that my wife led me to. God bless her. Oh, she wasn't my wife then. We were divorced. Excuse me. She was in a new age. And I had gotten saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and she brought me in this place, and everybody was chanting. Thought, my God. I kept looking for Jesus. I couldn't find him. They had a picture of all kinds of these guys there. And it just started grieving my spirit, so I left the room and I went into the hallway and started praying, and the Holy Ghost got on my knees and began worshiping God. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appeared to me, glorious and huge. And he put his left hand on my shoulder, and I could see his wings. And I was there worshiping the Lord, and I just began praying in the spirit. I didn't know what to do. And I could just sense in my spirit that this angel was there. And he put his left hand on my shoulder, and his right hand went up, and we both began to worship the Lord in the hallway. Then Kate came out and wanted to know if everything was okay. There was just certain things I couldn't share. She was frightened enough. But she began to see manifestations of God's presence and power, even though she never knew these things. You know, all of a sudden somebody would show up. We were lost somewhere out in the desert, nowhere. Somebody shows up and tells us what way to go, and the next thing I know, the person's gone. It's okay. We didn't need a map. Hallelujah. Began to snow. When I thought about snow, I said, Lord, I said to my wife, I said, you know, I sure would like to see snow. She looked at me like I was nuts. We're in the desert. What are you, crazy? In the mountains in New Mexico. Well, we woke up the next morning, there was about 1.5 feet of snow out there. My thoughts were becoming manifest. My daddy was revealing who he was. Dreams and visions and so forth. So I want you to know that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who reverence God. Now, one angel can kill 185,000 humans, and we walk around in fear. How foolish. So if you've got over a legion of angels on your behalf, which could be 2,000 to 3,000 angels, why do we fear? You know, they're working on our behalf. They're working on our behalf. Setting things and preparing things. Now, Lord, an angel of the Lord, and so Joshua is standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to what? Oppose him. Let me tell you, if you think Satan is just going to sit back, I don't care if your garments are clean and the angels are around you and whatever. Satan will not just sit back. He's going to oppose you every way he can. He's going to oppose you. He's going to try to get those garments off of you. Because he's more afraid of you than you are of him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And he answered and spoke those words who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. That's what he's done with me and you. And I said, let him put on a clean turban, clarity, on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And to God be the glory. See, you may not see, but the enemy sees you. You may not see what you look like, but the enemy sees what you look like. Amen? He knows. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 5. Is everybody okay? What the enemy tries to do is he tries to get us to return, brings us in the past, right? Tries to bring fear, tries to bring us to the things that God has delivered us from. In fact, the Bible talks about returning to our own vomit. Amen. He tries to move us out of those positions so he can disarm us and strip us. In verse 5 it says, likewise, you younger people, what? Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can, what? Devour. So is he trying to destroy marriages? Yes. Is he trying to destroy couples? Is he trying to destroy children? Is he trying to destroy God's servants? He's trying to destroy the kingdom of God in every way. Number 9, what does it say? Resist him. steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So the first righteous act we must do is what? Repent, pure repentance. The second one is submit. Submit. The third one is resist the devil. That is a righteous act, to resist the devil. It's a righteous act. And I don't mean just tell him, shoo. Shoo, devil. Don't touch me. The Bible says this. And he's looking at you going, yeah, right. You don't even believe it. He knows. He knows. You've been throwing all that stuff at me. It can't even hit me. It's like somebody who's standing before you, you know, and they're trying to throw a rock at you and keep missing you. How you hit it is faith. You must know who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. The first righteous act is what? Pure repentance. The second one is submit to God, authority. The third one is resist the devil. Amen? Go to Revelation 7. Hallelujah. Put on your garments. Saddle up and put on your garments. Hallelujah. Revelation 7 and verse 9. Revelation 7 and verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with what? Ripe robes, with palm branches in their hands. And they were crying out with a what? Loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What were they doing? They were worshiping, weren't they? Worshiping. Worshiping. That's a fourth righteous act. Worshiping. The Bible says, if when the spirit of heaviness comes on you, put on the garment of what? Praise. Don't, listen, there's times when, listen, you can do all the binding and loosing, but then you got to start praising God. Hallelujah, you need to start thanking Him. Thank you, Lord. I don't care how I feel. Praise you, Lord. What are you doing? You're bringing the throne room of God manifested in right where you're at. Amen. You can say, I rebuke this, I rebuke that, whatever. But the enemy's still standing next to you. Remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood. You're not fighting people. That's what the enemy wants to get you in, that you're fighting an individual. Then you're blaming the person for everything that's happening to you. Well, that's just plumb crazy and carnal. It's not the person. It's the devil. Just start praising God. How many times have you been in a party or... How many times have we been at a party? And there's people speaking in certain areas. And you have the choice to listen to what group this one is saying, what group this one is saying, or what group this one is saying. You have a tendency to tune on and tune off, don't you? Well, we can do that in the spirit realm too. I think some people are just looking for the voice of the stranger, or looking because the enemy's got them convinced. Verse 11, all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Let's keep going. Then one of the elders answered and saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and what did they come from? Where did they come from? And he said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and what? Serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who sits in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living water, fountains of living waters, and that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The fifth thing, too, is righteous act is servanthood. Servanthood. Serve. Hallelujah. Serve. Go to James. Chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Oh, it's a good day to die. Verse 25. James 1:25. Righteous acts maintain the robe of righteousness. And verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and what? Continues in it. Oh. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. And if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans, widows in their trouble, and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Amen? We're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Keep those garments unspotted. Go to Colossians 3. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and what? Forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do so. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be what? Thankful. Let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs and singing, with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The sixth righteous act is to forgive. Forgive. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. Forgive. The seventh righteous act is to love unconditionally. Love unconditionally. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Hallelujah. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. Let me tell you, tithes and offerings is a righteous act. It is a righteous act because it's not our money anyways. It's His. People wonder why things happen in their life. I'm telling you, one of the open doors in people's lives is tithes and offerings. Tithes maintains, offering increase. I'm telling you, you cheat God, you watch the devil have access to you. Especially one who's crying out, "Oh Lord, I want your will." Think about how much money we've given to the devil. Alcohol and drugs and everything else. Think how much money, think how much we have supported the devil's kingdom in all of our life. Plumb crazy. He said, "You've robbed me of tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse." Well, I just don't believe that. Well, it's a word that says it. It's not our money, it's His. Amen? Now, you can offer tithes and offerings also, but He's talking about money here and time. Amen? Serving, servanthood. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." You know what this is? It's a storehouse. "That there may be food in my house, and try me now on this." In other words, He said, "Come on, test me." It's the only place I can find where He says, "Test me," in the Bible. Come on, check me out. This is where God allows us to challenge Him. Everywhere else, He challenges us. "Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven." Now let me tell you something. It's not just about, you know, the greatest thing that you and I can have is God's presence. Because if you have His presence, you have everything. Doesn't matter. So when the windows are open, it's because He's about to bring His presence into your life. See, because His presence, when you got it, everything follows. You know, it's not, people are still waiting for money to fall from heaven. Okay, I tithe and I did offering. They're waiting for this big bale of cash to come, fresh off the print. I'm not saying God can't do that. I would never put Him in a box. Amen. But what we want, what He's trying to get to me and you, is His presence. I'm looking for His presence. I want His presence, because if I got His presence, I got everything. Said, "You've robbed me of tithes and offerings." He says, "Man, test me on this. Check me out. Then I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Now look at it. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." What's the, remember we just said that the devil searches, right? He's trying to what? Devour us. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, your adversary, is what? Seeking whom he can devour," right? Well, the Lord says, "Listen, if you'll obey this and give me your tithes and offerings," see, God doesn't need it. He doesn't need tithes and offerings to do something. We do. We need it. We need to give it, because what does that do? He says he blesses us. He opens the gates of heaven. Opens the windows of heaven. And He protects us from the devourer. Who's the devourer? The devil. Listen, He's just now talking about devouring your finances. He's talking about devouring you. That's what He's talking about. Devouring us. When I first began to read some of this stuff, it always reminded me of my old heritage. Paying for protection. "Hey, Louis, you want a restaurant? You want protection? Praise God. Pay up." You know, when I first began to read it, this kind of reminded me of the old days. I thought, whoa. Then I began to see the Lord in this pinstripe suit, you know. So, man, it's my Godfather. Hallelujah. Then I began to Godfather! Hallelujah. One day I was praying and I saw this leg next to me, and there was a nice suit. I realized it was the Lord. I said, whoa. He was sharp looking, all dressed up. I said, Papa. Hallelujah. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed. For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. You know what? Think about how many times you cheated God while you've been a believer. Compromised. Well, you know, Lord, I have to pay this bill. See, you pay God's bills, he pays yours. The reason why I brought this, well, this came to me, I mean, in fact, this came to me while we were worshiping. Because see, 7 means complete and perfect, and 8 means new beginning. He said, tell them that they stole from me from tithes and offerings. That is the 8th righteous act, is to give tithes and offerings. Amen? I want to end with Jude. Go to the book of Jude. It's a book right before Revelation. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. The Bible says, and out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen? Well, those righteous acts will keep that living water flowing through us. Keep our garments on an enemy. He sees who you are. He just wants to strip us, doesn't he? Oh, hallelujah. And Jude, let's start at verse, 16. These are grumblers and complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own godly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit, or not walking in the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternity, eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you, Master. We thank you. Lord, let the seed of your word today grow and bear fruit for your glory as I apply the blood of Jesus upon this seed. Lord, in any area where we have defiled our garments because of unrighteous acts, we repent. Lord, I'm asking today that the impartation of this seed would manifest righteous acts in our life. Pure repentance, Lord. I speak this over each and every one. Pure repentance. Submission. Resist the devil. Worship the Lord and reverence him. Serve with a pure heart. Forgive. Love unconditional. And offer tithes and offerings unto you in the righteous acts. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,